Dennis, would you be comfortable randomizing a patient to an adjuvant trial where one of the arms is lapatinib and no trastuzumab?
Yes. I know that's a controversial call, but I think based on the information we have at this point, the answer is yes.
There's another interesting trial out there, and that is for patients who were treated before the adjuvant Herceptin data are now going to be randomized to receive lapatinib years later. So that may add to that answer.
I'm curious, though, I know all of you participate in trials. Would you be comfortable putting a patient on an adjuvant trial where one of the arms was lapatinib and no trastuzumab? Rich?
I think I would.
Barbara?
Yeah, I would.
Well, if it was me, I would. I don't know. It's kind of scary. You're looking at a known 50% reduction in recurrence rate.
Except that you have trastuzumab available to you. It's an approved drug. And the old saw that we've already heard tonight, that you can't cure metastatic disease, I think needs to be relooked at in the current biologic era, that with these targeted therapies, we may be doing better in metastatic setting. I'm not advocating that you wait till then, but lapatinib, and again, this requires maturation of the current studies that are out there, but if the data look as robust as they've looked to begin with, then I think we have another effective HER2-targeting agent.
Dr. Earhart?
I hate to be the dissenting opinion, but if I had high node disease, I mean, that's the girl I'm worried. I'm not worried about my one lymph node positive and scraping off a couple more percent. But if I have 8 positive nodes, the absolute reduction from Herceptin is huge. And I wouldn't have any problem if you wanted to add something in and top it off. I'm okay, but I'm not sure I'd give up a 50% reduction.
I share some of your reservations. Yeah. Again, if you go to the hormone literature, we had randomized trials of tamoxifen versus aromatase inhibitors as palliation for first-line metastatic disease before we went ahead and explored the AIs so heavily in the adjuvant setting as an alternative to tamoxifen. And I don't see why we couldn't get that data pretty quickly and have more data before going. So my answer to the question would be probably, but I think the caveats you mentioned are very real.
It's going to be an interesting experience doing informed consent because this is basically the Aphrodite trial, right?
Right. So I think that's the basis of your question, Neil, and this objection has been raised, and people have argued that this is never going to get through IRBs, and I just don't agree with that. I mean, I think data, physicians, IRBs are becoming more sophisticated in understanding what might be out there. I think the patients have to be informed. I absolutely agree that you're going to tell the patient, here's this demonstrated benefit, and you may be giving up this demonstrated benefit in the clinical trial. But all of us, I think, that are in the clinical trials arena, and all of us should be, but I think hopefully all of us are working very closely with the patient advocates. And they have been willing to say, if there are better therapies, we're willing to assume certain risks to go on to these better therapies or equivalent therapies. I mean, one of the things that trastuzumab has worldwide, and I'm sure I'm going to raise a lot of hackles saying this, but isn't the drug's toxicity in terms of medical toxicity, but economic toxicity. There are countries where this drug is approved, but it's being rationed. And I think it's a much bigger catastrophe to have a HER2-positive woman not receiving HER2-based therapy than not having this other drug available.
Although I don't know if there have been cost-effective analyses done, particularly in node-positive patients, in terms of the cost of adjuvant trastuzumab as opposed to the savings in not having to treat relapse.
Oh, there have. The UK has done it.
Which way does it, how does they come through?
They have this NICE approval, they call it. The NICE approval is independent of the regulatory body's approval, is a body that sits and asks, is it cost-beneficial per year saved, and it's a runaway
positive. You would think so. Yeah, you would think so. I wonder, though, if what maybe might happen with Aphrodite is that people are going to put more of the borderline patients in, that you're not going to see that.
Yeah, I suspect that it'll be harder to accrue.
Well, maybe there'll be the patients where people are kind of on the fence about whether to do it or not. What do you think, Hal?
Well, the first thing that's happened with Aphrodite is they're going to change the name, because apparently a cardiology group
right.
had patented the
was
name
the
Aphrodite.
Was the trial formerly known as Aphrodite?
Exactly. So I think that on the one hand, it is an interesting study. I think there's still so much we don't know about adjuvant trastuzumab. We don't know the duration. We don't know whether it's best to give it with chemo, the formerly known as Aphrodite trial. You know, it was going to allow but not require concurrent administration of the anti-HER2 therapy and the chemotherapy. I think that's going to make a very complicated statistical analysis when all is said and done. You know, the Europeans, perhaps more so than the Americans, have resented as sort of the global sort of cost, I think, of infusional expensive therapies and are keen to see if an oral drug can be substituted with this. My sense of talking to oncologists in the U.S. versus Europe is that there's what you've heard at this table, that there's more of a lingering reluctance to forsake trastuzumab perhaps in the U.S. And so it'll be interesting to see how the patterns of accrual go with that study. It's going to be a very big study. It's an 8,000-person trial on paper. Because everybody's getting anti-HER2 therapy, the expectation is that the event rate will be lower than it was in the non-trastuzumab arm of the chemotherapy study. So it's going to be a long time till we have a hard answer from those studies. And I think that in between now and then, there may be data to suggest that this combination approach works even better, and that'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the design of the study.